We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Okay, welcome into the Labatt Studio, and this is the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Quarter number four coming up. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Cotton Bowl since it's the last football game we get to talk about before we go into off-season mode and start talking about everything else. Don't forget, you can get all our content. Yeah. KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Download our app, Keystone Sports, from the App Store on your phone. And we're on Spotify. Just look us up, Keystone Sports. The winner of Ask Ross from quarter number three is Brad in Doylestown. Congratulations, Brad. 409tailgateclub.com gift box is coming your way. So, one good thing that you did not get to in your review and during Tucker's tape that I wanted to bring up was about the Cotton Bowl game was Riley Patterson kicked six field goals for Memphis.
That kid is unbelievable.
He was a really good kicker, but that game was entertaining and fun to watch, right? But part of the undertow of that game, and you kind of felt it early when Memphis was really stepping on Penn State and having its way, I was like, he's a really good kicker, but they keep kicking field goals. Yeah. And it just stuck with me that there was as much as the back end of the defense was driving you sort of back crazy as a Penn State fan or follower, yeah, that the fact that they were making them kick field goals and making them kick field goals, yeah, it impacted this game all the way throughout. Am I wrong?
No, and Micah Parsons' first big play was when he just quashed that reverse for a 10-yard loss.
Right.
It looked like their first drive was going to be an almost effortless touchdown march. They had to settle for a field goal, I think, on the first drive, and it scored the touchdown on the second drive. But yes, that was actually a very much of a key to the game. Is Penn State's defense got its nose bloodied a lot, but in the red zone, they made enough plays, really. And if you look at the score, had they been more successful in the red zone, it could have been 53, 52. So
yeah,
yes.
I mean, Brady White threw for 454 yards, right?
And no touchdowns.
He had
How is that possible?
And two interceptions.
That's hard to do.
Right. They finished with more than 500 yards. They had 39 points. But they didn't really take the game to Penn State on
the
scoreboard.
By the way, 48 yards, 44, 51, 41, 42. These were not chip shots.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that's Ross Tucker wanting to talk about a kicker.
You brought him up. I'm just.
He was good. I'm
just giving you numbers, Andy. I'm a numbers guy.
If you're a Dallas Cowboys kicker, how are you not in the Pro Bowl every year in those conditions? Because they are optimum kicking in that stadium. Oh yeah, yeah. It is. It's a little warm. The ball carries very well. And yeah, that guy could have made a 70-yard field goal in that game. If you saw where the ball was hitting on the net.
Yeah, it was bad.
He was going to be good from 70.
So I want to talk one more level about defense, and then we'll get to a little bit of offense. But so Memphis hit its markers, right? They were 500 yeah. yards and 40 points a game. The Penn State defense was – Ross brought it up. They were poor tackling. They were letting go – John Reed was letting go of coverages because he was zoning out or something. They did not play a very good game defensively, but yet they had two interceptions. They had a scoop and score. They had nine tackles for a loss, and they had six sacks. I guess you could say they were a volatile yeah. defense, but they weren't sound defensively. Is that a good way to put it?
I mean, they had Micah Parsons. I hate to be that simple, but he had his hand in just about everything good that Penn State's defense did. I don't know that I've seen an individual performance quite. Paul Puzlesley had a couple games like that, but not in he did a little bit of everything in that game. You name the statistical category. And he did something, and he should have had an interception. I mean, they could have had another touchdown because of what he did. I mean, to watch the evolution of this guy, even in this season, has just been remarkable. And I'm really excited about, the fall, just because I don't think we've seen his best yet. I really don't.
I've seen this before.
He's only played the position for 2 years.
That's what I'm saying.
It's kind of scary, actually, how good he could be. And by the way, we said this earlier in the show, but I'll say it again. This is why people try so hard to get the five-star guys. This is why And I'm not going to get into the guys that are fairly local that Penn State didn't get in this year's class, but there are only so many real difference makers out there, five-star type guys. And how often are they in central Pennsylvania or in Penn State's backyard? Not very often. And they don't win that game without him. I mean, he's the difference in the game. And so it just goes – and by the way, there are five stars that end up being busts and
yeah.
they don't play well. And that should be noted too.
Yeah.
But, man, he has delivered. He'll continue yeah. to deliver. And he is a big-time difference-making yeah. player. So all of the headaches that Penn State went through with him during the recruiting process – it was all worth yeah. it. It was all worth it.
I've been covering, watching football like since the late 80s, and a lot of it was in the NFL then. I didn't get to see LeVar Arrington actually play like on the field.
I did.
And I'm not comparing Micah to this person, but he has some characteristics of Lawrence Taylor. I can remember watching Lawrence Taylor
wow.
on a yeah, football no. field. I don't know that he's as sudden as Lawrence Taylor is, but when he gets a head of steam up, like, it's frightening to watch somebody that big run that fast under control. And I think if he learns to harness that and he gets a little bit better, he looks to me, Gross, he looks to me like a 3-4 outside linebacker that would just be able to, I mean, they're playing a 4-3 and they use him differently, but he could play anywhere. But I just look at him as a big 3-4 outside linebacker, and I just don't know. I don't know what an offense does against an athlete like that.
I always thought that that's where he would end up. I think that's probably what he ends up being. I think some people might think he can be a 4-3 off the ball linebacker like he is for Penn State, like a middle linebacker. But I still, just by watching him in high school and at the All-American Bowl and stuff, I still would love to see him rush off the edge. Now, again, credit to Brent Pry. Used him on some blitzes, but also used him off the edge a couple times. I don't know if you guys saw it, but that Memphis running back chipped him and annihilated him.
Yes.
And let me just tell you, that elevates my level of respect for Micah even more. Because some guys, you know, you get rocked like that and you don't play the same after that. He played better. I mean, I was watching it with my brother-in-law who played Division III football at Wilkes. And we both, I think we said before the play, they got Mike at the end. So we were watching him.
I remember that play.
And the running back chipped him into oblivion. It was
a great He shook it off.
Chip. I mean, and he just was down on the ground like, got up and then kept
playing. I thought he was hurt. And he just slowly started
moving. I don't know
faster.
How he wasn't hurt.
And after games, this is the other thing about this guy. He never looks tired. He looks like he could play another game. I've never really seen him hurt. I've never seen him take a couple times you'll see him with his hands on his hips, but his recuperative powers just seem like they're remember Secretariat had that big heart when they autopsied the horse. It was like
right.
1.5 times the size of a normal heart. I'm just wondering about this guy's, you know, what he's got inside of him, because he is just unbelievable to watch.
Can I say one more thing before I forget?
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
I think this is important as it relates to next year. Daniel George, I thought, had a golden opportunity to say, I am a legit wide receiver that should be one of the top two next year, and I don't think he took advantage of it. I'm trying to remember. Was there a couple drops?
There was two of them.
He had a penalty, maybe. I'm trying to remember what else there was. Did he have a false start out there?
Yeah, he was. He looks great on the field. Like, physically, he looks great. But, you know, he's wearing 11, and Micah's wearing 11, and it just seems like they shouldn't let Daniel George wear 11. I'm sorry.
We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Quarter number four, we're wrapping up. Penn State's 2019. We're talking about the Cotton Bowl. The other, Penn State cared about this game, and I thought that was an important thing. Did you get that feeling as well?
Yes.
Watching the game, and not just how it unfolded, but that This game was important to
them.
They
did. They played hard. Yeah. I didn't get that sense in the Citrus Bowl last year. I thought some guys checked out of some plays. But I want to say that at the end of the game, with Tariq Castrofield's struggles, they had three freshman corners in the game. One of them made the interception. I think we're seeing, though, a changing of the guard. Penn State on the back end with the cornerback room. They're going to play young guys. They're going to trust them. And I think also Joey Porter didn't play as much, but they had, I think it was 19, 6 and 8? Or there was three freshman right. corners in the game at the same time with the game on the line. Tariq couldn't go. And I think that experience, even though they took their lumps a little bit, is really going to help them next year, because I think they're going to play those guys a lot, and I think they really like them.
I would agree, and I think next year is when the recruiting classes they've had the last couple of years, it all kind of comes together. You think about the running back depth they'll have, the offensive line depth they'll have, even the linebacker depth. You know, losing Cam, who I did not think played very well.
He did not have a good game at all.
And Jan.
Jan didn't have a great game either.
Losing those guys hurts, but they'll still have so much depth there. They'll have more depth in the secondary than they've had in a long time because so many guys played this year. I still think D-line without Windsor and Etor Gross Matos, especially D-tackle.
I don't know. Like Jason Oway looked pretty good to me.
No, yeah, but a tackle.
I would say the concerns for next year are wide receiver and D-tackle.
Yeah, and the biggest concern, Ross touched on it, is – it's got to be a focus. If they don't tackle better in space, it really doesn't matter how athletic they are. If they just continually right. miss and they have guys stop short of a first down and they run through tackles, it was a problem all year. It was even in some of their wins, and it never really went away. I know it's not easy to do, but other teams do it and do it very well.
On the decisive Garrett Taylor scoop and score, just wanted, did Micah punch awesome. That out, or did he try and throw it? I watched the replay.
He did try and throw it.
He did try
he
and throw
and
it.
Threw it.
Remember,
up in the air.
I thought Micah came around the back and punched the ball up in the air, but I couldn't too. Tell.
I think he went like that. He made a really awkward throwing.
He made
motion.
To try and make an upward tossing
they
motion.
Classified it as an interception.
He did, I think.
He did try, but his hand was being held.
The ball
that's
was
for guards.
So what are our choices here? We can either take away. Credit from Micah Parsons and give it to Brady White. No, Micah punched it out. That's what I saw. Micah gets a forced fumble there. They gave him two forced fumbles on the game.
Yeah.
So maybe that was one.
He had two other forced fumbles.
He had two other forced fumbles.
Yeah, that would have been a third.
That would have been a third one.
Yes.
And the last thing I wanted to ask you, Ross, and nope, I'm not going to ask you because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
I just looked at the clock. So anyway, Happy New Year to everybody. Thank you guys for a strong fourth quarter. Penn State finishes 11-2. That'll do it for the Keystone Kickoff Show this week for everybody here at the Keystone Sports Network. Have a great 2020 and come back and see us next week.
With the college bowl games and pro football playoffs approaching, what better way to celebrate than treating your guests to the best in barbecue with the rubs and sauces from 409tailgateclub.com. They also have great gift boxes. And don't forget the famous 409 Tailgate Club Bloody Mary Mix. To top it off, if you go to 409tailgateclub.com, use code KSN for a special discount just for Keystone Kickoff listeners. That's 409tailgateclub.com, and remember to use code KSN.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.